this spamming war just goes on and on. His remark is sympathetic in nature. I take his words as an obvious cue to redouble my approach velocity, step fully into the field of his vision, and wipe my arms across his chest, submitting my filthy clothing and runny nose for his inspection. Excuse me, sir. Might I inquire as to what is that just has taken place out on the street? I let the question hang there, resonating in the stereo clinic air. I'm play-acting now as if I'm stupid, asking after that which I'm clear not equipped to understand. He buys into this mailbox full of spam because I am merely a child, 7 years of age, and therefore, self-evidently, not yet sophisticated enough to mount a motivated deception. Oh, the folly of experience. I tilt toward him perceptibly, making sure he takes notice of my garb. His eyes fall upon me in silence, and then there is a gap of some seconds before I finally detect a twinkle in the center of his mechanical eye. At last, he's picked up on it. He's located the transceiver. He's got a make on my ID. This, of course, changes everything. His demeanor, not 30 seconds ago, this sort of bemused, half-attention, one-paced to a poverty-stricken child, is now replaced with that of a green hobo, ready to snatch a million-dollar bill from the church collection plate. I am well acquainted with his shift in disposition, immediately recognize his tell, so may now reflect that my gambit is almost certainly working. Well, hello there, a young fellow. He dings my helmet. You see, recently some bad men have taken it upon themselves to provide our city skylines with a series of aesthetic improvements. You may learn in school in the coming years about a social interaction often referred to in the literature, that is, as politically motivated violence, or for short, PMV. Splendid and fascinating, I exclaim, masking a considerable amount of mental activity with a merely adequate portrayal of childlike wonder. Allow me to explain. Throughout the preceding scene, my mind has been occupied simultaneously on three fronts. Affecting to extract details of the bombing attack without also giving away my real aim. Shuffling through numerous possible non sequiturs with which to counter his inane stammering, none of which must come across as excessively practiced, lest I inadvertently alert him to the fact that I am on the grift. And, to complicate matters, keeping an eye on what's going on around us in the office, paying particular attention to my physical location relative to all possible exits. It has only been in situations like this that I have, after so many years, felt well and truly engaged with the world. A fickle melancholy now descends over me, and I resist the urge to withdraw, to run outside, to find myself peering over the railing and thoughtfully evacuating my stomach. Characteristically, I maintain my hold on the situation. I press on. The doctor, for his part, sinks into a portrait of exquisite confusion. Say, son, what are you two doing in my clinic? William's chair is knocking back and forth, gently, blissfully unaware of the limits set by my tether. I turn my eyes back to the doctor very slowly, strengthening my posture and raising my voice. Sir, I was scouting around my little brother here when the building at 25765 St. Xtofer Cross did fall down nearly on top of us. I'm afraid I have sustained some sort of injury, and as my arms seem to have gone missing. I do the trick with my shoulder, slipping my arm, and he gasps as it reappears in my sleeve. Absent-mindedly, I look down and say, "Oh, there it is." He fails to laugh. Instead, he puts in a respectable effort to wrinkle his eyebrows to grow more visibly concerned. Privately, I want to be disappointed with this reaction, to ask him if somehow the humor hasn't translated, but I will not break character over a single flat joke. Now, this fellow knows when he smells a five-star dinner. He's recognized which house we're from. Dad's pressure screen is probably glowing red even as we commence negotiations. I think I can actually feel the chips twitching in my wrist and neck as both regions are crying out to be scratched. Or maybe it's just my allergies. Without warning, something seems to click into place in the doctor's head. He lunges toward me. Almost before I can unlatch William, the man's taken me up into his arms, ferrying me into an examination room. He unloads me gently onto a table and smooths me onto its stiff white paper, a microwave sweep to stem the spread of various bacteria. It will be interesting to learn which perilous, though certainly at this clinic treatable, ailment he has diagnosed me with, now that he realizes I have membership in a truly superlative insurance program. That's when he noticed my eyes.